Welcome back to San Francisco.
Thanks.
We're back, and Emily's here for a business trip, and we found some time to hang out and do a little pod. Okay, let's do this as an intro question. If you were on a Kylie's influence level, and you could bring down a general social media or tech company's stock, I guess it's a hater kind of thing.
I have an answer,
though. Wait, you do?
Well, it's a totally biased answer.
Oh, okay. Oh.
But I have an answer.
Okay. What company would you, if you were had Kylie's influence level, what company would you tweet about to either lower their stock price or reduce the number of users? No, not maliciously. Just one that you would...
Have thoughts on?
Yeah.
Well, okay. I only have one that I would do maliciously.
Okay.
And that is Dropbox.
Okay.
So that I could take their stock and make mine worth more.
Okay.
That's my answer.
My answer probably would be the same of like PayPal or something like
we're
that.
We're the worst. We're such Silicon Valley like... terrible people. We just want our stock to be worth more.
But I guess in general, I mean, I don't have a lot of like negative thoughts about companies in general.
Yeah. I mean, well, and yeah, it's like not that she did it maliciously, but I just thought it was fascinating. Like she makes that one tweet and I refuse to believe she knew that her tweet would like cause that much uproar.
No. Yeah.
But like, I saw so many articles that were purely about that one tweet, and then they just spin it into this whole think piece on Snapchat. And I'm like, this is all because of Kylie Jenner.
I know.
This 20-year-old girl who just had a baby.
But I didn't even follow the days after. Like, was it just a small dip? Like, I don't think the impact was as large as it was, like, made out to be.
Yeah, because it was in conjunction, I think, with the continuing problems that they're having.
Yeah, which is
that, like, they're not, like, grossing enough new revenue. Like, their user base isn't growing. And also, everyone hates their redesign. I don't really use Snap. That's the other thing. I haven't used Snap in a while. So I'm part of that group that has defected.
Wait, because people told you that the young people don't use it anymore?
Literally. Yes. Like,
Kylie, okay. So there probably is a lot of impact on that. Like that Kylie is like, basically it's like, okay.
Because that's what happened to me. Like, so a couple of my friends were like, I'm moving off Snap. It's all about Insta stories now. And I was like, oh my gosh, really? That trip I stopped you. Like, that trip I started the transition of like, okay, I'm going to post some on Snap, some on Insta. And then it's just too hard to do that. And then eventually I just transitioned entirely to Insta.
I hear that. Were you the one that told me about Chrissy, how she's on both still?
Well, I think I said that I only really use Snap for Chrissy.
Oh, okay.
She's one of the few people who will actually put different content.
Oh, wait, interesting. So you still have the app?
I still have it.
Oh, and you still view stuff?
I don't. So it used to be part of my routine where I'd like go in and watch everyone's Snap stories. I don't really do that anymore. Yeah. I only view direct messages on Snap because I get a notification and I'll look at Chrissy.
So I thought we'd start with just initial thoughts on Black Panther. We both saw it and would love to hear what you thought.
So I loved it. And I was a little skeptical because it was like one of those things where it's like getting so much hype and you're like, okay, is it all really worth it? But I thought it was really good. I really liked the storyline. And I know this isn't an original thought, but I also really loved the portrayal of women in it.
Mm-hmm.
I read a great article yesterday, of course, that was about
how... Was it The Vulture?
No, it was not The Vulture. It was like some rando site. But it was basically making a case for why Black Panther is a more feminist film than Wonder Woman, which I thought was interesting.
Interesting,
But I thought they made really good arguments. But I can go into them deeper. But what did you think?
I thought it was still a little overhyped for me. I mean, anything that's like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes or like 98% or whatever. So I will say I want to watch it again. I think I was a little tired when I was watching it, slash maybe like had a couple drinks before. So wasn't totally like able to focus. But I thought overall, like I just love like what it encompasses and what it has and what it means to people, certain groups of people, and so I support it for that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually was not as hyped about Michael B. Jordan's performance.
Wait, okay, because I think I shared this thought with you.
Yes, and so you liked his acting in the film?
I liked his acting, but his acting specifically has been called out in multiple sources that I've seen, like his acting and his character, and that was actually probably one of the points that I thought was the weakest parts of the movie.
Oh, did you? Oh, so you, okay. Yeah.
I like his acting. I didn't actually like the character itself as much as other people. Like, there were literally articles like, why Killmonger is, like, the best movie villain of all time.
Oh,
and I was like,
is
he?
Yeah. I've just been surveying people, too. I thought his acting was, like, good. As someone that, like, I feel like I'm fairly familiar with his work. started on The Wire, which I didn't watch, actually, but I know him from Friday Night Lights and saw Fruitvale Station and all that. And I think that – I just felt that, like, his acting wasn't, like, necessarily, like, anything superior based on, like, previous stuff that he's done. And I've been surveying people, and I think the common sense is that his acting was actually better in Creed. He's done, actually, like, even better in other films, but –
I mean, it seemed like one of the things that I read, and actually one of, well, yeah, so one of the things that I read was that, like, I really like that they actually called out the difference in, like, sort of, like, or, like, pointing out, like, American, African-Americans, and then, like, actual, like, people from Africa, and yeah. I think that was one of the things they wanted to, like, highlight is, like, mm-hmm. the effects of the, like, diaspora, and, like, he was representing that, like, American side of things. Mm-hmm,
totally.
Which I thought was cool. Yeah. But, like, the reason why I just didn't get it. Like, when he was like, yeah, I'm just gonna arm everybody. Like, I appreciate that, like, we really understood the motivations, and I think most people can see, like, where that anger comes from, and that, like, it actually informs you being like, okay, yeah, like, I understand why he's so angry. Like, he is actually right in many ways, right? Like, oh, the isolationist policies were, like, not good. But I'm like, that doesn't make sense. That's a terrible plan. Like, the second he started talking about his plan, I was like, that's just, like, like, you have not thought this through. And then when he, like, wanted to burn, spoiler alert, when he wanted to, like, burn all the, like, purple glowing plants, I was like, this doesn't make any sense. And you seem like an intelligent person. So it just, like, that's what bothered me. I was like, I understand the motivations, but somewhere between motivation and execution, I felt like a lot was lost.
Was that the point that he was a little, like, naive or something?
Because, like, in the articles I read, they're like, yeah, like, because you know, like, you feel that fuel, you understand that hatred because he grew up, you know, and now he sees all this wealth, and he's like, you didn't share this with me, and I want to share it with the world, and, like, I get all of that.
Yeah.
The motivation, I thought, was solid and really intelligently done. I just didn't understand the execution. Like, of his plan. I was like, your plan does not make sense to me.
See, these are things I didn't actually pick up on, which is why I want to watch it again. But otherwise, super excited about the film and for the future films. And
yeah, I mean, it was badass. I loved Shuri. She was great.
Is that the sister?
The little sister.
Yeah, she was so cute.
She was hilarious.
Did you notice that Daniel Kaluuya was bigger in this film?
Like, physically?
Versus Get Out. Yeah, versus Get Out.
I mean, I think he was a warrior, so, like...
Yeah. No, I was just curious if it was, like, for the film or if he was just, like, gained weight.
Oh, he just got swole? I liked him in this film. He didn't have much to do, but I was like, I see you.
Yeah, yeah. I liked seeing a familiar face.
Yeah, exactly. I liked it overall. I definitely liked it overall. So I read two great profiles that I just want to share with people.
Mm-hmm.
One was a long-form New Yorker piece on Donald Glover.
Yes.
Did you read it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, you did your homework for this.
Yes.
And then another one was a piece on Jennifer Lawrence, which was, I think, less interesting, but I'm sure you have thoughts as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we can start with Donald, because I know you love him.
Donald.
So what did you come away from that article?
I came away, nothing new, actually, because I would like to say I've been following Donald a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I thought what was really interesting was, you know, I've always kind of laughed at Donald because he literally thinks he's God's son. Like, he thinks he's God. Yeah, no, it has a Kanye complex. And, like, so, like, we've all known that. And, like, and so you just, like, laugh about it. He thinks he's God. But it was really interesting in this article. He literally says that. Like, he.
Yeah.
He.
Well, and when he's kind of expressed that before, I don't think it's ever been as, like, blatant.
Yes. No,
because
I know.
It's like, you can chalk it up some in music and rap, right? There's, like, that bravado. But this article spells it out.
I know.
Clear as day.
But what was interesting, like, did it read douchebag to you or did it read, like...
It read Kanye to me.
Oh, read Kanye.
It read Kanye. I was like, wow, you're Kanye West part two.
Yeah.
Where it's like, part of me is like, okay, you're delusional. Part of me is like, yes, you probably are partially a genius. And part of me just wants to, like, roll my eyes.
It's true. It turned me off a little bit when he, like, would say it so blatant like that. And I kind of, like, stopped my tracks. But then I was, for some reason, a lot more forgiving with him than with Kanye. I'm not sure why.
I mean, Kanye's been also, like, doing it for longer, I feel like, and he's gone a little more, like, crazy than Donald, who at least has, like, is still, like, just producing good work.
Yeah, and I feel like he still has his, like, wherewithal. Like, Kanye, I'm not sure where, like, his bias is.
Yeah, like, who knows what's going on with Kanye. So anyways, I just came away thinking, like, you're such a stereotypical, like, tortured, complex artist genius. Yes. Like, fine, good for you.
Right.
All right. Not someone I could ever, like, feel like, not that I ever would, but, like, meet you on the street, I wouldn't be like, I want to be friends with you. You seem too,
of course,
complicated and difficult.
Did you feel like they were hyping Atlanta, like, too much? Like, there was a lot of praise thrown at Atlanta.
I feel like that's kind of been, Atlanta's been hyped for a while, and I actually know, so that is one thing. It gave me a newfound appreciation for Atlanta, because there has always been that, like, absurd quality to it.
Yeah.
And I think it helped me understand a little bit more what they've been going for. Because you do, as a just layperson viewer, watch it. And sometimes you are just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's, like, very deliberate. And he's sort of like how he thinks about it. And I was like, okay, I can appreciate that a little more. So I like that.
Yeah, so I guess, Atlanta praise is one that I am absolutely here for. And so I love, and like, I love reading about it, and I love like, yeah, reading like about the genius behind it, similar to you. What I thought was interesting, what were you able to pick up about the relationship between him and his baby mama? Like, is she constantly in the picture? Is she always there? Are they...
It seemed like she was just his partner. That's kind of what I came away with.
Right? And like, yeah, but so like, they're still actively together.
Sounded like it, yeah, because she's pregnant again and she they live together.
Yeah.
And she was there.
I was hoping that there would be more, a little more insight into like, yeah, their dynamic, but it seemed like there's only that one passing.
Yeah.
When, yeah.
Because he's super private, right? He doesn't talk about it.
Yeah. I also think as a journalist, I would have been really intimidated to interview him.
Yeah, especially as an old white dude.
I also thought that choice was really interesting. How do you, okay, good question. How do you think like publications like choose who interviews?
I don't think the New Yorker has that many black brightest or writers, to be honest, because it's the New Yorker. When you think of the New Yorker, you don't think of like cutting edge urban authors.
I know, it's just fascinating.
Which is probably something they should work on. And I'm just also making that assumption, so sorry if that's not true. I looked up the author afterwards and I was like, oh yeah, this is just your standard old white dude.
Yeah, even his little character at the end, I was like, oh, that is not who I thought like they would have picked to like interview. But
I mean, I guess if you think about the audience of the New Yorker,
yeah,
like perhaps they're trying to like open it up.
Sure.
And like presented in a way that they can digest. I don't know.
But props to him. He seemed like he had a very full understanding of like...
Mm-hmm. He probably just spent so much time with him too.
Yeah. It did seem like multiple... That was interesting too. The interview took place like over some...
I think usually they are. It's like long form New Yorker, like Vanity Fair, GQ. They usually spend a good amount of time together.
Same with J-Laws, which is the other profile we read.
Well, that just seemed like one dinner, which I was like, you didn't spend enough time. I wish you guys had hung out more.
I guess because they referenced the December photo shoot or something like that. So there's maybe like, that's common, I think. It's like the photo shoot and the dinner.
So what were your thoughts on that?
Well, I have a lot to say about J-Law because I
felt like you did and I was surprised.
I went deep into her like latest press tour with Red Sparrow because I also listened to her podcast on Marc Maron and saw her on Stephen Colbert. Did you watch that? Mm-mm. And then, yeah, so there's just like several data points that I got, but I guess I'm just not sure how I feel about her anymore. I think the novelty has kind of worn off. As you know, like, I remember I used to obsess over Hunger Games, like press junkets and stuff. Oh my God. I was obsessed with her. I like loved her. I thought she was so funny. And especially her and what's his face? PETA?
Josh Hutcherson.
The dynamic was so cute. And like, so I actually would watch those over and over. I would watch her interviews over and over again. So
I love her. Yeah.
So now I think it's at a point where, which I think is maybe how like the rest of America might feel. It's just like, I think there is a little, and not to her fault at all. It's just like, she was so hyped that there's only like nowhere to go but down. Right. And so I feel like the hype might be dying a little bit. I'm just kind of curious how the rest of America feels about her and if she will continue to be like so well received as she has in the past.
I guess I agree. I feel like that's sort of been the question. I think I'm just in a camp where like, frankly, I think because with her, it just does come off very authentic to me that it's not, I don't get sick of it because I don't like Taylor Swift is like an example where it doesn't feel as authentic, right? Okay. So you do start to just get tired of it a lot more easily.
Yeah.
But with Jennifer Lawrence, that doesn't come off to me. Like, it really does feel that authentic. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's been very consistent in that. Like, from when she was just getting famous to even now when she's, like, super famous, I do get that sense that she's always been the same person, or at least in interviews, that's how it comes off to me. So for me, I'm like, well, I can't really get tired of it because I think she also understands she just has to do her job. She has to go on these press junkets. I don't view it as her like pushing her own agenda.
Yeah.
So like, that's just, I'm like, I feel like I can't fault you for being in everyone's face because you're just doing your job.
Sure. Yeah. And she was kind of like, in the past, I don't know if you remember, she would always be like she knew that overexposure would happen. Like she was very wary of it. But I love that she is so real to herself because that's what makes it so interesting to see her in her life now. And like, that's what she talks about on the podcast, more of like what her lifestyle looks like. Mm-hmm. And maybe in the profile too, I don't remember, but just like how rich she is and like that like lifestyle that she's living of like who she's connected to, like all these like celebrity friends and stuff like that. And so it gives a really unique, I think, insight into like what it's like for someone that like went through this huge transformation. And then like now they're just living a completely different lifestyle than they were before when they were in like Louisville, Kentucky.
And one thing I liked about the profile was that she talked about how like getting involved in politics is not smart for a movie.
Yes,
you know,
I love
actor, because she was like, you know, 25% of people identify as liberal, and I need more than 25% of America to go see my movie.
Yes,
and she actually said that, which like makes so much sense. But then she also, you know, then she's talked about how like with the past election, she just felt like she couldn't not speak up. But she also like, you know, acknowledged that like people in Kentucky don't like what she has to say, but also that she does understand them.
Yeah.
And she sort of saw that, you know, Trump victory coming.
Yes.
So I just thought it was like really interesting. And she just seems so like, honest. Yeah. And, like, just, like, I'm, like, I agree with what you're saying. I can't hate.
I actually really liked your insight about the politics. It was stuff that, like, I haven't, like, it was refreshing because I don't think I've heard, like, other celebrities, like, speak, you know, with that candor.
Because she grew up in Kentucky, right? Yeah. So, she, like, she really, for her to not understand it means she really would have had to, like, just, quote, unquote, forgotten where she came from, you
right,
know?
Right.
Kentucky is, like, the most redneck place you can think of, almost.
I know.
So she gets it, and I like that about her.
I agree. I listened to a podcast that said that her friendship with Kris Jenner is bad news for her. What do you think?
What do you mean?
Just that, like, it's just not a good person to associate with.
No, I disagree.
Really?
That's what I love about her. She doesn't care.
Yeah.
She, like, that's, like, she genuinely, like, loves the Kardashians. And when you watch her, like, old interviews, she's not lying. She's like deep cut knowledge of the Kardashians.
Yes.
So it's like, if you think about it, if you and I were to become famous, why wouldn't we like befriend all the people that we like always dreamed about?
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like, you do you, girl.
I love that the Amy Schumer friendship also seems really real. Like, the fact that it's lasted, because a lot of it was around the press of like, oh, they're gonna do a movie together. Right. So that's what I thought it was for. But like, it sounds like, I mean, clearly they're legit still friends, which I like.
Yeah. And she went to her wedding, obviously.
Yeah. So speaking of some shotgun weddings.
Oh, yeah.
Amy Schumer got married last week to Chris Fisher, I believe his name is.
Oh, wait, I remember the name. I didn't even know that.
A prominent chef from Martha's Vineyard.
Also, Amy Schumer dates just the most dream boyfriend occupations.
Furniture
maker and then chef.
Like, I know. Girl. She knows how to date. And they've only been dating for 3 months, I believe. And I believe the connection is that...
Wasn't Jake Gyllenhaal involved somehow?
Wait, really? Was he at the wedding?
Jake Gyllenhaal is one of the best men. He's friends with this guy somehow.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I think there's also some relationship with like her assistant.
Like, oh yeah.
Introduced
to
her assistant or something like that. I'm happy for her, I guess. Yeah. I mean,
I got to see her at her first public outing since the marriage, which was the Knicks game.
Oh, was husband there?
No. She was sitting next to Chris Rock, and they were cracking up all game. I was watching them, and I was like, I just want to be a fly on that wall, because they just looked to be having such a genuinely good time.
Wait, tell us more about this. This is a very special, and tell people where
you're at. Oh, so I was at a Knicks-Warriors game this past Monday, and my seat was such that I could see Celebrity Row. So I saw Amy Schumer, Chris Rock, Tracy Morgan, Leslie Jones, Jon Stewart, like literally all sitting in a row. And so I just watched them all game long whenever I wasn't watching the game. Which was about 50-50. And yeah, that was the thing I noticed, was that Amy Schumer and Chris Rock were like just like, kind of like talking and laughing it up the whole time. They really seemed to be having like just a really genuinely like happy time. And then Leslie Jones was funny. She would like yell at the ref and stuff and get really into it.
So do they seem chummy? Like, who came together? Like,
I don't know. I mean, it seemed like I didn't see them like enter the court together and, you know, like go to their seats together, but they all like left together at halftime, probably to some like celebrity VIP area.
Oh.
They all, like, I think actually Leslie Jones and Jon Stewart came back first from halftime. And then I think Chris and Amy came and Tracy came back kind of a little bit after.
Could you tell by who was interacting more with who, that like of who probably is friends or came together? Or?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think Amy and Chris are definitely friends because they seem to be like chatting it up. And then Tracy had his kid with him.
Okay.
And then Jon Stewart was with his kid.
Oh, okay.
I'm assuming it was his kid because it was the only white kid in that row.
Okay.
So probably not Tracy's kids.
Yeah.
Tracy was with his whole family. He was there promoting his new TV show, which, by the way, side note, I didn't know he had a new TV show.
Me neither. What's it called?
It's called The Last OG. It's on FX.
Okay.
And, like, good for him because he had that horrific car crash. And so it was really cool just to see him, like, back up and at it.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I took us on a tangent. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Amy's wedding.
Amy's wedding.
Yeah, no, I'm happy for her. She looked really pretty. I liked her dress.
Yeah. And she looked glowing, which is great. Mm-hmm. Another shotgun wedding that happened.
I don't know how to say her last name.
She's Emrata on Instagram, as you all should know. Emily?
Emily Ratajkowski.
Ratajkowski. Famously known for being one of the models in Robin Thicke's
Blurred Lines
video.
And having just really big boobs. That she
and
likes
a really
to show off.
And a really skinny body.
All the time.
In the name of feminism.
Yeah, she is actually one of those who does the whole, like,
I'll be naked if I want to.
Because I'm a feminist.
Yeah.
I just don't agree. Like, I don't know. I'm sorry. 2 weeks. Like, she got married after 2 weeks.
He's really not good looking either.
And you know what? It's not even that. It's the fact that she was in a long-term relationship with another dude.
Oh.
They just broke up. She met this dude. And then after 2 weeks, she marries this dude. I'm like, you don't think rebound?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I saw her initial Instagram, and it said it had the engagement ring, NY's engagement ring. And so I thought she was engaged. And then I started looking to the guy, and then, like, later I found out that she was, like, it was actually married. So that was crazy.
Yeah, they got married.
Who was she dating before?
I'm pulling it up right now. But they were, like, married for a while. So this guy that she actually got married to, his name is Sebastian Baron McClard, who she's been dating for the past few weeks. The fat Jewish was at our wedding for some reason.
Oh, so it was a full-blown wedding, or was it just City Hall?
City Hall.
Okay.
And then her previous boyfriend, also actually not that attractive. He's just, like, a pretty average-looking dude. Actually, he looks like her, the guy that she did marry, so I guess she has a type.
Okay.
They were an item for 3 years, and they broke up in January.
Wait, like, last month?
Yeah, 2018.
No, stop.
Yeah, 3 years, broke up in January, and now she's married to another person that she's been seeing for a couple weeks.
I can't even begin to understand what's going through their head that makes them think that, like, that's a good idea.
Drunk in love.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So anyways, I just thought that was ridiculous.
Okay, so we might have some divorces coming down the line to add to Jennifer Aniston's party.
Mm.
Okay, before we leave, we should talk about Oscar predictions.
Okay. Are there certain categories that you... Basically, my predictions are Three Billboards is just going to win everything, and I'm, like, bored of that. So I'm not particularly interested.
Okay, let's pick a couple and do... You think Billboard's going to win everything?
I think it's going to win all the things that it's already been winning. I don't think there's going to be any surprises.
Okay, so you think it's going to win Best Picture?
I think Billboard's going to get Best Picture. I think Frances is going to get Best Actress. I guess those are the two big ones, and then I don't know about the other categories.
I don't think Get Out is going to win very many.
I don't think Get Out's going to win anything. It might win, like, a screenplay.
Yeah. Perhaps. Do you think Lady Bird will win anything?
I don't think Lady Bird's going to win anything.
Okay.
I think Shape of Water could beat... Three Billboards,
mm-hmm.
slash I think Guillermo's going to get director. So Shape of Water will win there.
Okay.
Best Actor, that one I don't know. If I had to guess, I'd guess Gary.
Oh, I think Gary too, because he's been winning, right?
Yeah, he's been winning.
I would actually love if Laurie Metcalf won for supporting role.
Oh, I've totally been rooting for her, but she hasn't won anything. Allison's been winning.
I might just put her on the ballot. So if you all don't know, Apartment 504 traditionally has an Oscar viewing party every year, and we fill out a ballot. And Emily has won, like, last two years.
Yeah,
so she's our reigning champ. But this would be one where I feel like I would just put the vote down, just, like, make
just
it feel
to give
better.
Her the vote.
Yeah.
I've loved Laurie Metcalf's performance. I just don't think she's going to win. She hasn't been winning anything. It's been Allison all the way. And I saw her performance, and I can see why.
I love Allison, too, though.
Yeah,
so.
I thought she
was. Oh, you
really
watched iTanya?
Mm-hmm. I liked her in it.
Did you like Margot in it?
Yeah. I thought Margot was good in it. For sure. And that's what... Partly why I sent you that text about how Sebastian Stan has built a really great career for himself.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Because...
Does he have other movies coming up?
He's in Avengers, which I forgot about.
Oh, uh-huh.
So he's done a really good job of doing the whole, like, indie blockbuster route and, like, well-reviewed movies at that. So, like, I just feel like, good for you, Sebastian Stan. Who knew?
Okay, wait. Do you... I really want Greatest Showman to win original song. Do you think it will?
What's it up against?
It's up against Mudbound... Mighty River, which is Mary J. Blige. Call Me By Your Name, Coco. Oh, Coco might win.
I think Coco might win,
and Marshall.
And Marshall?
I don't know what that is.
But it'd be great if Greatest Showman wins.
I would love that.
Also, did you know Greatest Showman is doing, like, amazingly at the box office?
Is it?
Yeah. So there was an article I read about how he did a really bad opening weekend.
Yeah.
So people, it was, like, underperformed for sure.
Yeah.
And then its multiplier, its box office multiplier, has been growing steadily, like, ever since. So it's actually, like, its overall total has been really impressive.
Is that what you would call a sleeper hit?
I don't know if you can call it a sleeper hit if people expected it to be a hit, though. No, like, I mean, I don't know. That's just my take on it. I don't know if that's true.
That's a valid take.
Yeah. Because it would have been a sleeper, I guess. You could maybe make the argument that, like, after its first weekend, people were like, oh, well, it's
doomed.
Yeah. But
actually, you're right about the expectation.
It's had legs.
It's had legs. It has.
Legs. Yeah.
I think A Walk to Remember is a sleeper hit. No,
yes,
I actually
yes,
do.
Yes,
it
no.
was called that.
I think that's true. It's just funny that you found a place where you could bring that up in this podcast. I love it.
All right. It's time for our follow and follow.
What were yours?
I don't have an unfollow recently. I don't know why. Oh, but you do, so we can just count it out.
Not that great, but...
Okay. My follow is Katie Holmes on Instagram.
Ooh.
It's katieholmes212. I love that she's decided to include New York's area code or Manhattan's area code in there, really identifying with her New York roots. She actually is not that interesting of an Instagrammer, but I just think she's fascinating as a person and would love any more opportunities to see Suri if I can, which there aren't a lot. Mm. I just feel like it's one of those Instagrams where she's just really doing her. Mm. And so it's not necessarily on brand. It's not necessarily like really themed or anything, but it's just an interesting follow. And she doesn't post that often, so it's not a lot of effort on my part.
Okay.
And I would say, someone I have on watch, since you did that one time, is Patrick Starr on YouTube.
Who's that? Is he a makeup artist?
Yes.
Oh.
He is a large Filipino man who, I don't know what he defines himself as, but he is a makeup artist.
He's Filipino?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pulling him up right now.
Yes. And his brother helps him with his videos and also has a channel, which I think is so cute. And he's done like tutorials with Kim Kardashian, Katy Perry, like all the best. Like he's getting sponsored by a lot of makeup brands as well. And I just went deep on his channel.
What do you like about him?
Like what? I just think it's fascinating how he does his makeup because it's just one of those like complete transformations. He's able to like cover his like beard and everything. He's also just super funny. The way that he talks is just quite flamboyant and is just pretty funny to watch. You know,
4 million followers.
Yeah. No, he's like a big deal. And so I haven't quite subscribed to him yet, but I just went really big and I've been hearing about him a lot and I just went really deep into his channel.
Awesome. Wow. Wow, good for him. It's just so cool to see people who like, I feel like, you know, are probably the kids who like got like bullied growing up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's just like living his life and has 4 million followers and he's like fabulous.
Living that super fabulous life.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, my follow, I couldn't think of one. I probably have followed someone. So I'm just going to reiterate once more. This might be the second time I've done this. I can't remember.
Uh-huh.
Just how much I love Jennifer Garner's Instagram.
Oh my gosh, okay.
She's goofy and funny and like, honestly just seems like a sweetheart.
Really?
Yes. Like, she just honestly seems so pure of heart. And I'm just like, why would Ben ever cheat on you? What a douchebag. But I enjoy following her quite a bit.
So fame just hasn't affected her.
Yeah, like she did a thing where she was just like, I'm going to send people Girl Scout cookies. Like if you're one of the first people to respond, I'm just going to send you a box of Girl Scout cookies. And then she did it. And then she like did a video of herself like packing up all these Girl Scout cookies. And you know what? I believe that she herself was the one doing the packing.
Yes.
Like I truly do. And that takes, you know, that's hard to do. Like even if she wasn't, I was like, you're mailing these yourself, like hand delivered.
I mean, probably not working right now, but sure, yeah.
Okay, fine, but still, she's got other things she could be doing. Of like, course. You know, she's got her Capital One and her Garnier sponsorships she could be doing, okay? So I just appreciate it. She also does like videos of herself cooking, and she's just adorable, and I love her now. She has really converted me. So just that's my like just follow, even though I've already been following her. It's just my pitch for her.
And were there any highlights from comments by celebs this week?
Oh, so many. They had a DM conversation with Kelly Ripa.
Oh, yes, I saw
that.
Did
you see that? Yeah. Like, they're really blowing up, so yeah. I'm proud of and happy for them. Yeah, so comments by celebs is great. That should be a follow, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then my unfollow was just an old coworker who I will not name. But I think she recently went on some sort of beach vacation and is trying to do that thing where she makes her grid.
Oh.
Like she's like trying to make a grid basically. Yeah. So I got 9 pictures of basically just water and her in the water. She's in a bikini and she's just like posting it and I got them all in a row and I got really annoyed by it. I was like, why am I looking at water and you in a bikini like for 7 scrolls of my finger?
Wait, can I see it?
So I unfollowed. So all these pictures showed up in a row on my feed and I was just like, no.
Oh man.
It's just too much.
How do people, by the way, I don't know how people make those.
I don't either.
It's probably an app.
It's just also just like, wow, you're putting so much time into this. Why? I'm just being salty. So I unfollowed her. I also haven't spoken to her in a really long time. I was never really like that good friends with her. So I feel like it's fine.
Okay. Well, Instagram grids, things we are not here for.
Not here for it. Or you know what? Do it over the course of like a week. If you do one a day, why won't
But then that would seem super random.
You can only get away with that if you're like Selena and you're building suspense.
Or Beyonce.
Yeah, or Beyonce, yeah. But it's so, can you understand, you know, because it's like you're killing people's feeds.
Yes.
Like we're just getting like, then we have to go to your Instagram. And by the time I do that, I resent you at that point.
Yeah, you do have to, right? Because you need to see the full picture.
Right, because then you're just like, what is this crap that they're uploading? Yeah. Right? So you have to do it, which is annoying, but I'm not going
to
like it.
But then you did bother though to like get, because you want to get to the rest of your friend's stuff.
Exactly. So I have to like keep scrolling through and then I have to see it.
Yeah.
But then I unfollow you. So is it worth it? Ask yourself that.
Speaking of, well, have you heard that young people are all about the stories now? It's not even about the feed.
Oh. Yeah, well, I think that I like that better.
Yeah.
I think that's what Eva Chen would want. Because in a story, she does, like, does talk. Eva Chen's the director of fashion at Instagram. In a talk she gave, she did say, like, she's like, nobody cares about the grid. Like, you should be posting about, like, you should just be posting, like, content that's real to you and authentic to you, and, like, nobody cares about the grid.
Do you think that, does she story, like, actual stories, like, beginning to end, like, good stories, or is it just kind of random how friends and we all do kind of taking you through a journey of something, like, there's something going on, or is it just, like, here's my pizza, like, here's...
It's both.
Okay.
It's both. But I think she does a really good job of making it seem authentic. So, like, she'll do, like, a workout, and then she'll do, like, her at the beginning of the workout, and then, like, throughout, and then at the end of the workout. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's, I guess, what you mean by, like, a story. But then she'll also do, like, a lot of stuff with her kids, but are just, like, her and her kids, and, like, a snapshot into her life, which I like.
That's cute.
Yeah. I'm here for the kids, and she's away from her kids right now, so it's not as interesting.
What are their names? Ren?
Ren and Tao.
Tao, one. Like the nightclub?
T-A-O, yeah.
Okay, that wraps up our episode for today.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.